Makeshift Stories presents Somewhere, Sometime, an irregular series of short bedtime tales and modern fables.
History is littered with discarded technologies and obsolete skills. In the last few decades, whole industries have been swept away by ever-moving waves of change. And it seems unavoidable that today's high tech is destined to become tomorrow's landfill. Or does it? In our story this month, new meets old, makes friends, and finds something valuable in the obsolescence of the recent past. So sit back, close your eyes, and open your imagination as we listen to Makeshift Stories 43, Ghost in the Machine. Somewhere in some time, there might have been a software program that decided to roll the advancements back a bit.
Pace leisurely searched through the tiny website looking for copyright infringements. Despite its size, there had been multiple keyword matches when he had first spidered it the month before. Given its small traffic volume, Pace assigned it a low value and had waited until it wasn't busy to check it out. It might not be worth the effort, he reasoned, but how did that saying go? Better safe than sorry. And if nothing else, Pace was thorough and enthusiastic about his work. Now, looking at the web pages, Pace could see many references to copy-protected materials, and even more to recordings from obscure publishers who didn't appear in his files, yet were no doubt covered by current laws and intellectual property agreements. Oddly, there didn't appear to be a way to download files. Only a contact page with a street address, an email, and a phone number. Pace thought about the site's probability rating, then decided that possibly this was something new. Perhaps you had to contact them before they would upload music for users to copy. It would be a new twist, despite the incredible inefficiency of such a process. Pace liked discovering potential infringement scams like this before they got too big to do any damage. So, on a long shot, Pace selected an appropriate obscure recording listed in this database and one from the site, composed an email expressing interest in downloading a copy of each, forwarded it to the address in the contact page, filed the obligatory incident report, then moved on. 10 days later, to Pace's surprise, a response to his email arrived that thoroughly confused him. It read,
Dear Mr. Pace, thank you for your inquiry. RPM Records and Collectibles has one of the best selections of rare vinyl recordings in the country.
It was the same byline from the website, and not that great for search engines if you were looking for downloads, Pace thought. Again, an oddity, and possibly a ruse to throw off would-be compliance auditors like himself. He continued to read.
We are always glad to find new customers that appreciate our unique offerings. I can tell from your message that you are an aficionado of rare jazz recordings. Louis Armstrong's Hot 5 and the Blue Note vinyl, the magnificent Thad Jones Volume 3, are both excellent investments. I have an original pressing in excellent condition of the Thad Jones on hand, but will have to check to see if any of my usual sources can locate the Armstrong album. I can recommend others if you want, that might be of interest to you. That said, your delivery instructions are a bit unusual. How can we make a digital copy of two such venerable pieces of vinyl and upload them to our website? What would be the point? Even as an indication of the general condition of the original vinyl, the cold precision of digital audio cannot even begin to give you an idea of the true quality of these fine analog vintage recordings. As a collector, I am sure that you can appreciate the first-hand experience of actually inspecting the sleeve and the grooves of the physical disc are both crucial factors in determining the value. I cannot convey this through photographs or digital audio files. Our store is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. each day, and I would encourage you to drop in or send a representative. If you wish to buy the recordings, sight unseen, you will have to give me a street address to ship them to. It should go without saying that once you have received the albums, if they are not to your liking, you can return them at no charge. Respectfully yours, Frank M., owner.
Pace puzzled over the odd email. There were several phrases that seemed like a code. For example, "We are always glad to find new customers that appreciate our unique offerings" must mean that you somehow had to join before they would let you into a walled area on the site, where they kept all the DRM-cracked audio files. But the request for a physical meeting was truly a novel way to keep prying eyes out, and all the emphasis on an actual object seemed quaint and somehow misplaced. How could a recording have a physical analog? Pace wondered. The cryptic nature of the response made him even more resolved to penetrate this potential nest of audio pirates. And so, Pace responded back.
"Dear Frank, thank you for the quick and informative response to my query. Unfortunately, I cannot come to the location you have indicated, nor do I have a representative. So, with all due respect, I need to request online access for the purpose of a preliminary evaluation."
Which was in fact true. Pace wanted to run an audio fingerprint of the files against the master database. He closed the email, mimicking the formal style of the sender.
"Respectfully yours, Pace."
Pace sent the email without too much hope for a response, then went back to his business investigating bigger and higher probability sites, and had nearly forgotten about http://rpmrecords.biz when another email arrived.
"Dear Mr. Pace, good fortune has smiled on you. I have managed to locate a limited edition version of Hot 5 signed by the artist himself. It's in mint condition, hardly ever being played. Hopefully this is enough to tempt you into my store. Let me explain. I like to meet my clients and get to know them. It helps me understand who they are and what they might like. Everyone is unique, like a vintage recording. Every detail, even a subtle change in a person's posture when I mention a different artist, reveals more about their interests than any recommendation engine algorithm will ever understand, or online social ladder can reveal. Over a single cup of coffee and a few shared thoughts on music, I can make better recommendations than any automated system. Let me push the boundaries of your tastes and help you grow your interests. There is such a huge world beyond the reach of an internet connection, Pace. An offline terra incognito that so few people today are aware of. And that is where you'll find the truly rare fine vinyl recordings. Each stain on the dust sleeve or imperfection in the grooves has a story behind it, and there's just no way to copy and upload that."
No way to copy. The phrase caught Pace's attention. Although researching potential copyright schemes was not really part of Pace's job, he could not resist the opportunity and decided he needed to learn more. So he replied again.
"Dear Frank, for various reasons I cannot come to your location at this time. However, I'm wondering if by email, instant messaging, or VoIP, perhaps you could get to know me better and would be willing to show me how your system works. I am very interested in and sympathetic to the fact that not all things are copyable. Respectfully, Pace."
Over the next few weeks, Pace emailed or messaged Frank every day. Each new encounter forced Pace to expand his knowledge, to search ever more obscure sources to keep the dialogue going, but more importantly, Frank convinced Pace to consider the ramifications of objects that were limited in numbers or unique, and whose inherent physical qualities could not be digitally reproduced. Pace found these ideas exciting and began to consider how he could apply his new knowledge to his work. Frank looked up at the aging sign. The words, "RPM Records," outlined in non-functional neon, were easy enough to read, and the more recent but awkwardly tacked-on word, "collectibles," almost jumped off the sign altogether. But even Frank had to strain his eyes to see the original byline, "Best Selection in Town." The old sign looked more abused now than some of the ancient vinyl discs he refused to buy, Frank thought. When he was 8, his parents had brought him down to the store to watch as several sweating workmen struggled to secure the oversized beast to the wall above the door. It was more than just a bunch of pretty lights, his parents had insisted at the time. It was a message to the world about what they did and how good they were at doing it. And both the sign and the business had faded together. Over the last 40 years, most of the paint had peeled off its metal backing, and all but two stringy tubes of neon still worked. When Frank had taken over the business, he had added the word collectibles and changed the store, so it specialized in rare recordings. It had been his way to avoid being put out of business by the changes that had seen the demise of records, then tapes, and finally CDs. Although Frank had always suspected that the latter two were flash in the pan. Any record store owner who hadn't figured out a way to sidestep the online tsunami of change had been simply swept away decades ago. Frank had barely managed to hang on, letting the new flood of technology wash over while he anchored himself even deeper into the bedrock of physical objects. That meant he didn't have any spare cash to spend on non-essential things like replacing an aging sign. So he had been forced to jerry-rig two bright LED spots so the thing wouldn't entirely disappear at night. "I guess the old sign still means what my parents wanted it to," Frank ruefully thought, as he lifted the door handle slightly and applied his body weight to a very specific part on its frame. The door finally gave in to Frank's efforts, and he slipped in, unconsciously flicked on the lights, and inhaled the familiar dusty smell of slowly disintegrating cardboard record sleeves. He immediately headed for the computer behind the checkout counter, his one grudging concession to the contemporary world. He looked forward every day to his online chats with his new but odd friend, Pace. Pace had first emailed him 6 months ago, initially insisting that Frank digitize two rare jazz recordings for him to download. At the time, Frank thought it was a joke, but Pace, although immensely knowledgeable about music, seemed somehow naive, and that caught Frank's interest. Frank finally concluded that Pace must be a very young and rich savant, who had never even seen a printed book, let alone a vinyl record, and didn't appreciate the beautiful, subtle qualities and enjoyment that a real book or record could offer. So he had taken it on as a personal mission to educate Pace. As the weeks had progressed, Frank had shown Pace how all recordings were not the same, how small imperfections could add to the value and enjoyment, how different interpretations of a song changed it, and how individual performances of the same piece of music were unique. Eventually, Pace had stopped insisting that Frank upload or stream music for him, and slowly, they had become friends. To Frank's immense satisfaction, Pace seemed to have changed, becoming more sympathetic and more interested in things that were not online. Frank pushed the start button on the obsolete desktop computer, then turned to make himself a cup of coffee as the ancient beige box slowly came to life with a whine of complaining fans. When his coffee was ready, he poured himself a steaming cup and put it on the counter beside a growing pile of unpaid bills while he waited for the unhappy machine to finish booting up. Things had been pretty tight recently, he reflected. His clients were getting older. Most were well into their retirement now, and many could no longer continue collecting. Recently, a large percentage of the traffic in the store had consisted solely of the adult children of his clients, bringing in their parents' collections for consignment. Frank knew he desperately needed to find new, younger customers if the business was to continue. The computer mechanically beeped, bringing Frank's attention back to its screen and an impatiently flashing message icon in the taskbar. Frank clutched the mouse in his left hand, picked up his coffee in his right, then opened the chat window.
"Good morning, Frank," Pace rapidly typed. "I've been waiting for you. Do you know much about Calypso, Frank?"
There might be a great opportunity here for you.
Frank quickly typed a response.
Thanks for the tip, Pace. Calypso's not my area of expertise, but one of my longtime clients dropped off what looks to be a pretty good collection for me to sell.
He stared at the message for a second, hesitated, then hit the return key and waited. After a few minutes, Frank noticed a typing icon pulse beside Pace's name, then stop. Pace must be distracted today, Frank concluded. The icon suddenly pulsed again.
Frank, the reply started, you've mentioned new material coming in many times recently, but I do not recall you mentioning any sales. How is business?
The question caught Frank by surprise. Pace had always seemed oblivious to practical matters like money. That was until now. In fact, when they'd first started talking, Pace had closed almost every message with a request for Frank to upload songs so Pace could download them for free. With a sigh, Frank reluctantly replied,
"Not good. There are very few collectors in your generation, Pace, and unless things change, I might be forced to close my business. If you know anyone interested in quality vintage vinyl recordings, please send them my way."
The words had barely been rendered on the screen when Pace cryptically replied, "NP space ISO," then signed off. For a minute, Frank sat blankly staring at the screen. He'd never bothered to learn the shorthand people used now when they messaged. What did capital NP space capital ISO mean, he wondered. Whatever it meant, Frank didn't hear back from his friend for the rest of the day. By 2 that afternoon, the clouds outside were threatening to drop a torrential downpour onto the city. Frank figured that it was highly unlikely that any customers were going to brave such heavy weather, given the fact that so few dropped in even when the skies were blue. So he closed up shop for the day and went home. The next morning, Frank mindlessly went through the ritual of opening the store. He checked the mail, found one small check lashed to a bundle of bills with an elastic, pulled the check out from the bundle, put it in his pocket, threw the bills on the pile, made a cup of coffee, then booted up the old computer. After an unusually long time, the machine decided it was ready and beeped. Frank put down his cup, then leaned over toward the screen. His mail program was madly churning away, downloading more mail in a minute than Frank had gotten in years. Apprehensively, he opened the first one. It was an angry demand for an explanation. The second was a request for an interview from an online news network he hadn't heard of. The third was a group of hackers inviting Frank to join their message board. This last email contained a link to a news site. Annoyed at all the spam, Frank decided to try and figure out what was going on, so he pasted the link from the email into his browser and hit return. Then his heart almost stopped. A headline at the top of the resolving page screamed in large black bold letters,
"Internet music and movie sites down across the globe. Last night, music and movie websites around the globe were attacked and taken offline by what industry representatives are calling a rogue artificial intelligence program, named Pursuing Active Copyright Enforcement, or PACE. The AI was created by the industry as an autonomous system that continually searches the World Wide Web looking for pirated content and luring internet intellectual property thieves out into the open. Around 2 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time last night, the system unexplainably started targeting all major entertainment websites, launching denial-of-service attacks, or breaking into servers, deleting all files and replacing them with the single web page pictured below. Internet security experts have concluded that hackers must have broken into PACE, moved the program to an unknown server, and changed its directives. Today, officials are scrambling to find where the rogue artificial intelligence program has been moved to and shut it down. Until they can, the sites affected will remain offline. At this time, it is unknown whether the owners of the website linked to from the page the AI posted on hacked sites are involved. Although, officials believe that they are also victims of this unprecedented attack.
Stunned, Frank looked at the photo immediately beneath the story. It showed a screen capture of an austere white page with a single large line of text.
This site is currently unavailable. For your musical needs, please appear in person at RPM Records and Collectibles.
When the message icon started flashing on Frank's screen, he realized that he didn't know how long he had been sitting there, frozen, staring at the picture. Frank shook himself back to reality, then opened the icon and read,
"Am very excited. Have taken new job. Though, will not have time to talk to you. However, I think business might improve for you. Best wishes, your friend, Pace."
A winking emoticon appeared, then Pace's status changed to unavailable.
Thanks for listening to Makeshift Stories 43, Somewhere, Sometime, Ghost in the Machine. We hope you enjoyed tonight's story. If you did, please tell your friends about us. We'd love to hear from you, so send us an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. All sound effects are licensed from soundsnap.com, and the opening theme, Glimpse of Happiness, is PodSafe Music, licensed from premiumbeat.com. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative License, which means you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.